And joining us on the line right now, Susan Ferriccio, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Washington Examiner, good friend of this program, and somebody who follows politics very closely. And Susan, we got news this morning, as they say. We all woke up and saw that there had been some changes made over at the Trump campaign. We got this guy, Steve Bannon, who was an executive at Breitbart. I guess he still is an executive at Breitbart, going in as the chief executive of the campaign, and Kellyanne Conway, a pollster, a fixture in this town for many years, is the new Trump campaign manager. Paul Manafort taking a smaller role, it appears. Your thoughts about this?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I think this is interesting. You know, everybody's talking about the need for some kind of change in the Trump campaign at this pivotal moment here. It's August. There are less than 3 months now until the November election. And he's behind in battleground state polls and the national polls. So people are talking about what does he need to do to really pivot and make a big change. We've been talking about this quite a bit in his campaign, but now, of course, we're hitting this critical end of summer juncture when it's sort of a now or never feeling, right? And so we wake up this morning and, aha, another change. There have been several since he's launched his campaign. And this one's interesting because now you've got an experienced pollster, Kelly Conway, who's already been in the part of the campaign, a woman at the helm. And I'm wondering if she'll maybe listen to her. You know, it sounds like Paul Manafort had good intentions. Maybe the two of them weren't getting along very well. But, you know, I'm wondering if he'll be listening to her a little more in the same way he listens to his daughter, Ivanka. About what he needs to do to win over some critical groups, including, and maybe most importantly, women voters. She's a pollster. She's a longtime political operative. She also used to work for Jack Kemp, who is someone who House Speaker Paul Ryan worked for, admired very much. So I just think there could be real opportunity here.
Well, let me ask you this, though, about that, because, I mean, you said that there was a thought that maybe there needed to be a change at the Trump campaign. Manafort was one of those who said, yeah, there does need to be a change. The candidate needs to be apparently more disciplined about his delivery of talking points and sticking to the script. And he is the guy who's in a diminished role. I'm looking at these two people, and I would say these are probably folks who would say, let Donald be Donald.
Maybe, but the other difference here is the messenger. I'm just wondering if he might listen to her more. I guess that's my point here. You know, she may be able to deliver the message in a different and more convincing way than Manafort. She is a pollster. She understands the voter base probably better than anyone in that campaign structure right now. She's been around Washington a long time. She's already been out there for Trump, proving herself. And again, I think, you know, I'm beginning to wonder, you know, he does, you know, everyone criticizes him and his relationship with women, but, you know, if you look at his company and you look at his campaign, I wonder if it's the women he's more bound to listen to more than anybody else at this point. And I just wonder if she'll be able to communicate to him a little bit better. But you're right, Ryan, that she also may also be able to do that in a way that still lets Trump be Trump. I mean, that's the only path forward for him, because we've all kind of decided here inside the Beltway, oh, Trump cannot change. You know, that's the problem here. There's time, but Trump can't seem to get away from his tendency to make these off-the-cuff remarks that drag down the whole debate and get him in trouble. Maybe she can do that. Maybe she can steer him to a path away from that. And I think that here, when I look at what happened today with this big shakeup, that's, you know, something that maybe the whole Trump campaign is looking for at this point.
Meanwhile, Susan Ferriccio, the news that the executive chairman of Breitbart News is shifting gears and becoming the CEO of the campaign. He's never run a campaign before, but he is a media figure. And according to Bob Costas, right up in the Washington Post, he's been advising Donald Trump directly for months now. I wonder what you or other journalists might say if we learned that Arianna Huffington was leaving the Huffington Post to work for the Clinton campaign and she's been advising Hillary for the last several months. I mean, we know that the Huffington Post is pro-Hillary, but still there is a concerning factor there between the bleeding between media role and political role, isn't there?
There is. Now there's sunlight upon it, Larry, but do we really think that this hasn't been going on to some degree in ways that we just don't know about over
Well, again, I know that the Breitbart site has been pro-Trump, just as the Huffington Post site has been pro-Hillary, but did I think that the executive of the company was on the phone with Donald Trump giving him direct advice on how to run his campaign? No. Am I naive?
But, Larry, don't you think that, you know, this has been going on for years. To some, I'm very cynical about the press, probably because I'm a member of it. But don't you think? I mean, we all criticize the media on the left. I mean, there's so much collaboration, obvious and subtle, and this and that. At this point,
well, let me tell you something. If we knew for a fact that George Stephanopoulos was advising Hillary Clinton, we would be screaming bloody murder about it here on Talk Radio.
We would be, but I find it outrageous that he's hosting the Sunday talk show and he used to work for the Clintons. It's already there, is what I have to say. And you're right. But you're right, Larry. I know you work for Breitbart, and I know the changes that have happened there. This is truly not a good thing for journalism for this to happen in such a big, obvious way. But in my cynical view, it's been going on in ways that we just, have been really hidden. I think the public knows it.
I agree. I guess it does. And it does feed into that cynicism, which, again, I don't know is good for our business necessarily.
It's not. It's terrible. That's why the media is looked down upon so much right now. The people don't trust us anymore. It's a good reason.
Let me ask you about this. Are down-ticket Republicans nervous about things right now?
Yes, because, they've been nervous for a long time about Trump at the top of the ballot, and they think that if there's a big enough gap between Trump and Hillary, that it's just going to make it impossible for these really close races in these battleground states where you're looking at three-point races that they're going to lose, and they're going to lose the majority in the Senate. But I would point to an interview with the New Hampshire Governor Maggie Hassan a few days ago, where someone was asking her whether Hillary Clinton is trustworthy, and she couldn't answer the question.
Right.
She's a Democrat. That's a three-point race. She just trying to work her way around the question without answering it. Because what about Hillary Clinton's effect on the ballot from these close races?
It's a conversation, Ender Susan. It is. I was on Fox News yesterday, battling a Democrat pundit, and I just said straight to her, well, do you think Hillary Clinton lied? They can't answer the question. They can't answer the question, Susan. It is definitely a way for the Republicans in the House and Senate to turn things on to their opponents.
Right. And what it will do is, I think people talk about Trump's effect down the ballot in these battleground states, but people don't. They both have low ratings for trustworthiness, and they both have low favorability ratings. And I kind of believe that if people are going to vote for Hillary Clinton, like everybody seems to be predicting right now, that they may say, "Okay, I'll hold my nose and vote for Clinton, but I'm going to hang on to my Republican center." They'll split the ballot, if you will, and that's a real possibility. Pollsters talk about that all the time.
So we got to leave it. We got to leave it right there, Susan. We're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure, and I appreciate your insights.